ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ. ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ ಎಂಟೈಟಲ್ಡ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಅಬ್ಸಲ್ಯೂಟ್, ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ ನಂಬರ್ 21 and 22. ವಿಲ್ ರಿಸೈ ಟೆಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ 21. ಯೋ ಯೋ ಯಾಂ ಯಾಂ ತನುಂ ಭಕ್ತ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಯಾರ್ಚಿತುಮಿಚ್ಛತಿ ತಸ್ಯ ತಸ್ಯಾಚಲಾಂ ಶ್ರದ್ಧಾಂ ತಾಮೇವ ವಿದದಾಮ್ಯಹಂ. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: I am in everyone's heart as the super soul. As soon as one desires to worship some demigod, I make his faith steady so that he can devote himself to that particular deity. Purport: God has given independence to everyone. Therefore, if a person desires to have material enjoyment and wants very sincerely to have such facilities from the material demigods, the Supreme Lord, as super soul in everyone's heart, understands and gives facilities to such persons. As the Supreme Father of all living entities, He does not interfere with their independence, but gives all facilities so that they can fulfill their material desires. Some may ask why the all-powerful God gives facilities to the living entities for enjoying this material world, and so lets them fall into the trap of the illusory energy. The answer is that if the Supreme Lord as Super Soul does not give such facilities, then there is no meaning to independence. Therefore, He gives everyone full independence, whatever one likes. But His ultimate instruction we find in the Bhagavad Gita. One should give up all other engagements and fully surrender unto Him. That will make man happy. Both the living entity and the demigods are subordinate to the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the living entity cannot worship the demigod by his own desire, nor can the demigod bestow any benediction without the Supreme Will. As it is said, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, persons who are distressed in the material world go to the demigods, as they are advised in the Vedic literature. A person wanting some particular thing may worship such and such a demigod. For example, a deceased person is recommended to worship the sun god. A person wanting education may worship the goddess of learning, Saraswati. And a person wanting a beautiful wife may worship the goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. In this way, there are recommendations in the Shastras, Vedic scriptures, for different modes of worship of different demigods. And because a particular living entity wants to enjoy a particular material facility, the Lord inspires him with a strong desire to achieve that benediction from that particular demigod, and so he successfully receives the benediction. The particular mode of the devotional attitude of the living entity toward a particular type of demigod is also arranged by the Supreme Lord. The demigods cannot infuse the living entities with such an affinity, but because He is the Supreme Lord, or the Super Soul who is present in the hearts of all living entities, Krishna gives impetus to man to worship certain demigods. The demigods are actually different parts of the universal body of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, they have no independence. In the Vedic literature, it is stated, The Supreme Personality of Godhead as Super Soul is also present within the heart of the demigod. Therefore, he arranges through the demigod to fulfill the desire of the living entity. But both the demigod and the living entity are dependent on the supreme will. They are not independent. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Welcome all the guests, the devotees for the evening Bhagavad Gita class. So today we are discussing from the 7th chapter, 21st and 22nd verse. So in this series of verses, Krishna is talking about demigod worship. So especially in India, any person who is religious is worshipping some particular god. Like if you see, if you go to like Kumbh Mela is like a supermarket of religion. Like there are supermarkets for different products are there. Like when Kumbh Mela is like the supermarket of religion, in which like different groups of people come and each group is worshipping some particular demigod. So there are so many gods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, Indra, Kartikeya, Ganesh, Lord Krishna. So there are people worship so many different gods. So we must actually understand that that what are the demigods and what is their position in relation to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually Krishna, according to the Vedic scriptures. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Suta Goswami describes about the different incarnations of the Supreme Lord. There's a chapter called Incarnations of the Supreme Lord. So he describes about different incarnations. And then at the end, he says, Yete chamsha kalapumsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam. Indrari vyakulam lokam nidayanti yuge yuge. He says that all the incarnations which I have described previously, they are nothing but parts or expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But the original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Krishna himself. From Krishna, all these different incarnations emanate. And we also find in the Bhagavad Gita itself, how Arjuna accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like Arjuna says, Param Brahma Param Dama Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. After hearing the Gita, Arjuna, in the 10th chapter of the Gita, Arjuna says to Krishna, that you are the Supreme Lord and you are the Supreme Abode. You are the Supreme Enjoyer. You are eternal and you are the purest personality. In this way, Arjuna accepts Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. Then one may wonder, after all, actually Arjuna is Krishna's friend. Just like sometimes a friend may flatter his another friend, one may think that, okay, Arjuna is actually flattering Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of God. One may say like that. But then, in order to remove this doubt from the minds of the people, Arjuna immediately speaks in the next verse that, Ahustva mrishayas sarve devarishir naradastata asito devalo vyasa swayam chaiva bravishime. Arjuna says that not only I accept Krishna the Supreme Lord, but then even great sages like Asita, Devala, Vyasadev, all these personalities accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So it is not that Arjuna is flattering Krishna as the Supreme Lord, but then Arjuna is also quoting other sages that how they also accept Krishna as the Supreme Lord. So even great acharyas like Shankaracharya, Madhvacharya, All these great acharyas, they accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So once we understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the next question is, what are these other gods, like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma? What is their position in relation to the Supreme Lord Krishna? So the simple example is like, just like in a big company, there is the owner of the company, and this owner of the company appoints different managers for managing the different affairs of the company. Somebody is in charge of managing stock, somebody is in charge of managing the employees. So many managers are there. But all these managers, they are very powerful, but then they are appointed by the owner of the company. So similarly, all these demigods are appointed by the Supreme Lord to manage the universal affairs. Just like even in a country, there are different ministers who are actually managing different departments. Water department, and defense department, etc. So similarly, in the universal management, like Varuna Devi is in charge of water. Lord Shiva is in charge of destruction. Durga Devi is in charge of like defense. Education department, Goddess Saraswati. So in this way, all these demigods, they are actually appointed by the Supreme Lord to manage the universe. So these are all just like in a government, like we have different posts, like Prime Minister, Chief Minister, Minister for Education, etc. So these are all basically different posts. So different people occupy that post for certain time. And then when the tenure is over, then somebody else is appointed. So similarly, demigod is a post. Like Indra is a post. Brahma is a post. For example, to occupy the position of Brahma, it is said that one has to follow Varnashram Dharma for 100 births. So if one has this qualification, then one can occupy the post of Brahma. Just like to become a particular minister, or then one has to have certain qualification. Similarly, to occupy the post of different demigods, one has to have different qualification. So these demigods are 33 million or 33 crore in number. So there are 33 crore demigods who are in charge of different departments, who are actually managing different affairs in the universe. And all these demigods exist within the material creation, whereas the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists beyond the material creation. He exists in the spiritual world, which is beyond all the material planets. The next point is that then different people worship the demigods. What is the difference between worshipping the demigods and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Like in the previous verse, Krishna said, Kamai sai sai hritajnana prapadyante anya devata. People who are driven by material desires, they actually worship the demigods. They surrender to different demigods. So just to give a simple example, actually, those people who worship demigods, most of the people, they are actually driven by material desires. It is actually not worship, it is actually business. Like once a man was sailing in a ship. So suddenly there was a big storm. So then he had like so much of property in the ship. He was threatened that all the property may drown in the ocean. So immediately he prayed to a demigod, his dear demigod, that please actually help me. If you actually help me so that my ship does not drown, then I will actually sell my house, and whatever I get in return, I will actually give it to you. I will offer that. So he actually had a huge mansion. So demigod listened to the prayer, and demigod immediately stopped the storm. So then later on, so he became very happy, but then he had to fulfill that promise. But then he did not actually want to sell that house. Because he thought that house is actually worth 1 crore rupees. He was so attached to the house that he did not want to give up that property just for giving to the demigod. So he made an announcement that I am selling my house costs only 1 rupee. But then, if somebody has to buy this house, then he also has to buy this cat along with the house. And this cat costs 1 crore rupees. So then, hearing his action, somebody bought the house for 1 rupee and then he paid 1 crore rupees and bought the cat also. So then, because he promised the demigod, whatever I get in return for my house, I will offer to you. Then he just gave 1 rupee to the demigod. So it's basically a simple story to illustrate the point that people actually worship demigods, but then they are actually driven by material desire. There is no concept, there is no love involved in that. So they are actually doing business with the demigod. So that is the nature of demigod worship. One devotee gave the example. Like one person went to Hanumanji and prayed for a wife. Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai, Shri Gaurnitai ki jai, Shri Gopal ji ki jai. So because this person thought that actually Hanumanji is after all a brahmachari, that he will not compete with me for giving me. So he will actually give the wife. So it may seem like a simple joke, but then if we deeply analyze, when a person actually worships a demigod, he actually has that mentality. Basically wants to fulfill his desire. That is why he is going to worship a demigod. And what is the result of demigod worship? So when the demigod fulfills the particular desire, then his desire to fulfill more material desires only increase. Just like, suppose if you are having a cough, if you go to a doctor, and then if the doctor says, you can eat anything, you can even eat ice cream, no problem, but you just take this antibiotic, your cough will reduce. If he says like that, it's actually... because the doctor knows that, he is hell bent on taking ice cream, so doctor also doesn't want to disappoint him, so he says, okay, you can take ice cream also. So then, it's actually he's not a good doctor. Similarly, demigod, when a person worships a demigod, demigod actually satisfies the desire, but then what is the result? He starts getting more and more desires. So demigod is not actually concerned with the welfare of the person, because he is actually does not have a selfless motive. Since he has a selfish desire, so the demigod says, okay, as long as he satisfies me by doing this puja, then I will actually fulfill his desire. So irrespective of what is the result of that. So then, the worshipper of the demigod is actually considered to be less intelligent. So it may seem a very strong statement. Krishna says, he's actually using the word hritajnana. That means, a person who worships demigod out of material desires, his knowledge is stolen. Actually saying he's less intelligent. So it is actually a very heavy statement. But then let us try to understand the statement very objectively. So just consider this example of a honeybee. A honeybee goes to different flowers and tries to accumulate honey. And then after accumulating the honey, when it tries to enjoy the honey, ultimately the honey is taken away by the farmer. Farmer comes and takes the entire honey. So the honeybee is busy trying to accumulate the honey, but then it could not enjoy the honey. Farmer takes away the entire honey. So similarly, a demigod worshipper, he works very hard and fulfills worships a demigod and to fulfill his material desire, to accumulate so many things. But then ultimately, Krishna comes in the form of time, and in the form of time, the Supreme Lord takes away everything from the demigod. Everything from the demigod worshipper. So he works very hard, but then he gets the benefit which is only temporary in nature. That's what Krishna says in the next verse, that alpamedasam, the results we get from a demigod, it is actually temporary. That is why a demigod worshipper is considered to be less intelligent. It is like saying, like suppose a person is failing in the exam consecutively, but then after so many attempts, he actually gets 40 marks and passes. So then we actually praise the person, "Oh, Sabash, well done. You at last got such very good marks." So actually, demigod worshipper is also like that. Saying Sabash to a person who actually, encouraging a person who is actually, was failing in so many exams. So usually people want sense gratification, but most of the people, they do not want to follow any path of religion. They want to enjoy sense gratification without wanting to follow any rules and regulations mentioned in the scriptures. So they are like the people who are actually repeatedly failing in the exam. But then such people, ultimately, when they actually come to the Vedic path, that means in order to satisfy their sense gratification desire, at least if they start worshipping a demigod, at least it is better than not following the Vedic path to satisfy sense gratification. Just like a person who passes after 4 attempts by getting 40 marks is at least better than failing in the exam. So you may encourage the person. So similarly, a demigod worshipper is at least is following the Vedic path. So it is like saying sabash to a person who repeatedly fails in the exam, but at last he gets 40 marks. But the worshipper of the Supreme Lord is actually more intelligent. He is the most intelligent person. Just a simple example, like once a king, he got a son. So after he got a son, he wanted to give in charity to anybody who came. So different people came to the king to get charity. So somebody asked for house, somebody asked for wealth, somebody asked for some jobs, etc. But then at last the old lady came, then she said, "I want you as my son." So what the old lady asked from the king, that benediction is permanent. Because when she gets king as a son, she actually has access to all the opulences of the king. So whatever benefit she got is permanent. Whereas all these other people who ask for some material benefit, that's actually temporary. So that is why a person who worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead is actually the most intelligent person. And then further in this verse, in today's verse, Krishna says that actually when a person desires to worship a particular demigod, Krishna says that I give the faith to that particular person so that he can devote himself to that particular demigod. Just like suppose it is said a honeybee is attracted to the flower because of the presence of the nectar within the flower. But who has put the nectar within the flower? A man is attracted to a woman, or a woman is attracted to a man because of the attractive potency. But then who has put the attractive potency? So it is put by the Supreme Lord. That's why Prabhupada writes in the purport, a demigod actually does not have the power to give the affinity for the demigod worshipper so that he can devote himself to him. The faith is actually given by the Supreme Lord so that he can devote himself to the particular demigod. And then not only that, then when a person worships a demigod actually gives the benefits, but then those benefits are offered by Krishna himself. Yes, like simple example, like in a particular company or in a government, a person may be giving salary to all the persons who are working in that particular department or in the company. But then, is he actually giving the salary? He takes the salary from the government or the head of the company, and then he basically distributes it to the different people. So similarly, demigods may appear to be fulfilling the desires of the living entities, but then they are not actually, they are taking that from the Supreme Lord. On behalf of the Supreme Lord, they are actually giving it to the living entities. So if the faith is given by the Supreme Lord, and if the benefits are actually given by the Supreme Lord, the point is, why not worship the Supreme Lord directly instead of worshiping the demigods? So let us consider some examples from the Srimad Bhagavatam about the demigod worship. And also how Prabhupada recommended demigod worship. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we have the example of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, after he became the emperor of the whole planet, after he actually defeated the Kurus in the battle, he became the emperor of the whole planet, then he was feeling repentant. He was feeling that, actually, I am responsible for the killing of the crores of soldiers in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Then he was feeling so much repentant, then he wanted to atone for his act. Then he performed 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices. So Ashwamedha sacrifice is very difficult to perform. One needs so much of gold and so much of food grains and so much of ghee is required. He performed 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, but then it is described, although Yudhishthira Maharaj performed only 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, but he became as famous as Indra, the king of heaven, who performed 100 Ashwamedha sacrifices in order to occupy the post of Indra. So we see here, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed only 3 Ashwamedha sacrifices, but he became as famous as Indra, the king of heaven. Why? Because Yudhishthira Maharaj is a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord. Because of that, he could become more famous than even the king of Indra. And then we have another example, Arjuna. Arjuna, he once fought with Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva came in the form of a hunter, and then Arjuna had a fight with Lord Shiva. It was such a terrible fight that Lord Shiva became actually pleased with Arjuna after the fight. So then, Lord Shiva became so much pleased with Arjuna that Lord Shiva offered his Pashupatastra weapon, which he would use at the time of dissolution of the whole universe. His own personal weapon to Arjuna. He gave it to Arjuna. So then, as soon as Lord Shiva became pleased with Arjuna, all the demigods also became pleased with Arjuna, and they also offered their choicest weapons to Arjuna. So then, after that, Arjuna went to the heavenly planet in the self-same body. So there Srila Prabhupada makes a wonderful point, says that like Ravana was a devotee of Lord Shiva. But then Ravana could not be saved by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ravana could not be saved by Lord Shiva when Ravana was fighting with Lord Ram. He was a devotee of Lord Shiva, but then he could not be protected by Lord Shiva when he fought with Lord Ram. Whereas Arjuna fought with Lord Shiva, but then Lord Shiva became so much pleased with Arjuna that he gave his best weapon to Arjuna. So which is the better position? That means, if a person is a devotee of the Supreme Lord, that he can even please the demigod, even if he fights with that particular demigod. So to be a devotee of the Supreme Lord is the best position. And then, when Arjuna went to the heavenly planets, he stayed at the heavenly planet for some time. And then all the demigods, they approached Arjuna for killing a particular demon called Nivata Kavach. So this demon, Nivata Kavach, was troubling the demigods. So then they took shelter of Arjuna that please help us in killing this demon. Please help us, please kill this demon so that we will be protected. So then Arjuna killed this demon, Nivata Kavach. Again we see this principle that demigods are actually very powerful personalities. Demigods, it is said, after performing so many pious activities, one can go to the planet of the demigods. They are very powerful personalities. But although they are so powerful, although they have such a huge lifespan, but still they took shelter of the Arjuna in order to kill this demon Nivata Kavach. So that means a devotee is actually more powerful than the demigods by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then another example is that when a person worships the demigods, he will go to the planets of the demigods. But then even in the planets of the demigods is not free from impurities. Even the demigods are not completely pure. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. When the Supreme Lord appeared in the form of Varahadev as the boar incarnation, he actually came out from the Garbhodaka ocean. So when he came out of the Garbhodaka ocean, he actually shook his head. So boar, a pig, is actually considered to be a very unclean animal. In Bombay, you may not see pigs. But then if you go to the villages, I remember when I was at my hometown, pigs are actually swimming in the ditches. They're swimming in stools and urines. Nobody actually would like to go near the pig. But then, when the Supreme Lord appeared in the form of a boar, when he actually came out of the bottom of the Garbhodaka ocean, so then, it is said, Vidunvata Vedamayam Nijam Vapur Janas Tapas Satya Nivasino Vayam Shatashriko Duta Shivambu Bindubir Vimrajamana Brishamisha Pavita. So that time, the residents of the heavenly planets like Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, which are inhabited by demigods, they all stand there. Then they were waiting to get those droplets of water which actually emanates from the body of the Supreme Lord Varahadev, who was in the form of a boar. And then they say that we have become purified by the water which emanated from the body of you. So there are two important points. First point is that even if the Supreme Lord appears as a boar incarnation, his body is completely spiritual, so much so that even the residents of the heavenly planets, they are actually wanting for the droplets of water which emanates from the Supreme Lord. And the second point is that the fact that the demigods, the residents of the heavenly planets, they say that we have become purified by taking the water from emanated from your body. That means there are impurities present even in the planets of the demigods. So that is the point, that even if you go to the planets of the demigods, still one is not completely pure, free from all these anarthas, lust, greed, anger, envy, etc. And then we have another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that once the whole universe was actually filled with darkness, and there was earthquakes and volcanoes and storms which are happening all over the universe, that even the demigods became afraid. Then they approached Lord Brahma. They asked that, what is happening in the whole universe? Then Lord Brahma narrated what is actually going to happen. Why is this darkness due to? Then he narrated a whole history, and he said that very soon, two powerful demons like Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are going to take birth. That is why this earth is, the whole universe is filled with these symptoms. Then he narrates the whole history. Then after hearing the whole history, then the demigods, it is described, then the demigods became pacified. They became free from fear after hearing from Lord Brahma as to the cause of the whole situation. So there again, Srila Prabhupada comments, he says that there are four activities. Eating, sleeping, mating and fearing. So, even in the planets of the demigods, one has this problem of fear. Every person is trying to solve this problem, eating, mating, sleeping and fearing. In the planets of the demigods, one may have better eating facilities or sleeping facilities or mating facility, but there the problem of fear is present even in the planets of the demigods. Just like in this case, the demigods became so fearful, they approached Lord Brahma. So fear is present even in the planets of the demigods, but the difference is the demigods know whom to approach when the fear occurs. They know who is the right authority to whom they should approach to get solution for the problems. So they approached Lord Brahma, and then after hearing from Lord Brahma, they became free from fear. So the point we are trying to make is that even in the planets of the demigods, one has a problem of fear. And then we have another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that the fourth canto. So once all the managers of the universal affairs, all the progenitors of mankind, they were performing a big sacrifice for the peace of the whole universe. So there was a Prajapati. Prajapati means the progenitor of mankind, named Daksha Prajapati. He was headed by Daksha Prajapati. He was performing a huge sacrifice for the universal peace. So in that sacrifice, so to cut the story short, that the sacrifice, all the great demigods, they came for the sacrifice. But then as soon as when Daksha Prajapati entered the sacrificial arena, he was so effulgent that everyone got up to receive Daksha Prajapati except Lord Shiva. So because Daksha Prajapati was filled with false pride, he could not tolerate that just one personality, Lord Shiva, did not show respect to him. So immediately he started blaspheming Lord Shiva. So then the whole sacrificial arena became so polluted because of that blasphemy of Daksha Prajapati towards Lord Shiva and his associates. Then all the associates of Lord Shiva started blaspheming Daksha Prajapati. Then after some time, Daksha Prajapati left the sacrificial arena and Lord Shiva also left the sacrificial arena. But then it is described at the end, although Daksha Prajapati left the sacrificial arena and Lord Shiva, who is the supreme demigod, he also left the sacrificial arena, but then the sages continued to perform the sacrifice. So there again, Srila Prabhupada comments that although even Lord Shiva left the sacrificial arena, the Daksha Prajapati left the sacrificial arena, but the sages continued to perform sacrifice in order to please the Supreme Lord Hari. So that means, one can please the Supreme Lord Hari independently of pleasing the supreme other demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. To please the Supreme Lord Hari, it is not necessary that one has to worship the other demigods also. Whereas, if you worship the demigods separately, then you will not get the benefit, full benefit. Because there are 33 crore demigods, if you want to worship the demigods. But then if you worship the demigod, if you worship the Supreme Lord, you automatically please all the demigods. There is no need to worship other demigods separately. Then, we have another example. In the fourth canto, again, in this example, so the description comes when the Prachetas are sons of a king called Prachina Barhishad. So they were going to perform austerities to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari. So that time, when they were going to perform austerities, Lord Shiva appears in that place. So usually, Lord Shiva is actually very rare to be seen by an ordinary person. He can be seen very rarely. But then, Lord Shiva is telling to the Prachetas that I have come here to give blessings to you. So here we can understand, we see the point that the Lord Shiva, people perform so much of austerities in order to get darshan of Lord Shiva. But then here, Lord Shiva himself is coming to give his darshan to people who are devotees of Lord Vishnu. In fact, Prabhupada writes in the purport, the Prachetas, they have not even begun performing austerities to please Lord Hari. To Lord Krishna. Even before they started performing austerities to please Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva came to give blessings. That means, just because these Prachetas, they have decided to worship Lord Krishna, Lord Shiva came to give blessings. Then what to speak of when a person actually worships Lord Krishna, how much more benefit will that person get from demigods like Lord Shiva? Simply by deciding to worship Lord Krishna, if Lord Shiva becomes so much pleased that he himself comes to give blessings, then what to speak of when a person actually worships Lord Krishna, how much more benefit he will get? Then one may ask, okay, Lord Shiva has this attitude, what about the other demigods? So Prabhupada says that Lord Shiva is actually the leader of the demigods. So if the leader of the demigods is having this attitude, then what to speak of the other demigods who are subordinate to the leader of the demigod. So they will also have the same attitude. So then further Lord Shiva says, Yaha param ramhasa sakshat trigunat jiva samhitat Bhagavantam Vasudevam Prapannasa Priyohime. Lord Shiva says, any person who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of the material energy and the living entity, he is actually most dear to me. So Lord Shiva is making a very clear statement that any person who worships the Supreme Lord Krishna, he is actually most dear to me. It is the word directly from the mouth of Lord Shiva. So then, there is no need of more explanation that why should you worship these other demigods? Because by worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, one will please the demigods more than by trying to worship these demigods separately. Then further, Lord Shiva says, Swadharmanishtar Shatajanma Bippuman Virinchatam Yeti Tatap Paramhimam Avyakritam Bhagavatota Varjavam Padam Yataham Vibhuda Kalatyaye. Lord Shiva is saying, when a person performs, practices Varnashram duties for 100 births, then he will occupy the post of Lord Brahma. So it may be, one may be wondering, first of sometimes one may wonder, like, what is this, like, Lord Brahma, he has such a huge lifespan, 311 trillion years. So it may be astonishing to us. Just like, suppose, when an ant looks at a demigod, the ant looks at a human, for an ant, a human being is very astonishing. Suppose you are going in a yatra, suppose you are going in a village or something, suddenly you want to attend a nature's call, then you go to the side of the road and pass urine. So immediately, the next day in the ant's newspaper, it will be headlined, storm. So thousands of ants are killed. So in comparison to ants, human being is like a, it may be very astonishing. So in comparison, similarly in comparison to demigods, in comparison, for human being, demigod may be very astonishing. Because like some of you may be wondering, who has seen the demigod? Why are you saying that demigods, who has seen that? How do you say the demigods have such huge lifespan? There is planet of the demigod. We talk about it. So it may be very astonishing to us. Just like for an ant, human being is very astonishing. But then, these demigods do exist and these planets of the demigods do exist. So Lord Shiva is saying that when a person performs Varnashram duties for 100 births, then he occupies the post of Lord Brahma. Then, when he further advances, Virinchatam Yeti Tatap Param Himam, then he further advances, then he comes to me, the abode of Lord Shiva. Then he says, but then, when a person worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead with unalloyed devotion, he directly goes to the spiritual world, the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to that abode, the spiritual world, all of us, myself, Lord Brahma and the other demigods, we go to that abode after our lifespan end. So that means, when a person becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord, he goes to the spiritual world immediately. Whereas, if you worship a demigod, if you go to the planet of the demigod, or by getting a qualification demigod, if you become a demigod, then ultimately after many, many thousands and millions of years, then you will get that destination which a devotee achieves immediately after becoming a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So which is a better proposal, to worship the Supreme Lord directly or to worship these demigods individually? So then further Lord Shiva says, Atha Bhagavata Yuyam Priyosi. He says, he's telling to the Prachetas, you are all devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore, you are all worshipable to me as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I worship all of you just as I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Then he says, I know in this way devotees also worship me and that I am dear to the devotees. So Prabhupada comments in the purport that Lord Shiva is saying that not just the Prachetas are dear to Lord Shiva, but then every devotee who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is dear to Lord Shiva. One may say, okay, Lord Shiva is particularly talking about these Prachetas who went to perform austerities. These people are dear to Lord Shiva. But then here, Lord Shiva is making it clear, not only these Prachetas, any person who is directly trying to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he is actually dear to me. And then how much? He is not simply dear to Lord Shiva, but then Lord Shiva is saying that such a person is dear to Lord Shiva, just like the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is dear to Lord Shiva. That means Lord Shiva is saying that I worship the devotees just like I worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is how much the devotees of Lord Krishna are dear to Lord Shiva. And then Prabhupada makes another point. He says, from these statements, it appears that Lord Shiva blesses the asuras just as a formality. But he actually loves the devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna from his heart. Just as a formality. Just like, suppose a person wants a cigarette. He goes to the shop and asks for a cigarette. Then the shopkeeper says, okay, you give me this much money, I will give you a cigarette. So shopkeeper, he pays the money and then shopkeeper gives a cigarette. So that is how the demigods treat the worshippers. As long as you pay the money, I will give you. Just a formal relationship. But then, the demigods, they actually love the devotees of the Supreme Lord. Just like a father loves the son. If the son asks a cigarette from the father, father will give a big slap. Because father loves the son. So similarly, the demigods actually truly love the devotee of the Supreme Lord. Whereas they have a formal relationship with their worshippers. So yes, we'll take few examples how the Srila Prabhupada encouraged demigod worship. He wants some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada that we want to worship Lord Ganesh so that he removes all the obstacles in our distribution of books for your pleasure. We want to worship Lord Ganesh for your pleasure to distribute books. And Prabhupada said, first you pay $1 lakh for my pleasure, as tax for my pleasure, then you worship Lord Ganesh. So then the devotee said, where will he get $1 lakh? So better we give up this idea of worshipping Lord Ganesh and we just continue book distribution. So Prabhupada did not believe in worshipping demigods. He had complete faith that if you worship Krishna, Krishna will take care of everything. Like once Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving some program. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, the International Society for Krishna, the founder of International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a program. So there were only few devotees were sitting. So devotees rolled the mats because they thought, why should he have rolled the mats fully? So let us fold the mats. They were folding the mats. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, why are you folding the mats? Don't you see demigods are sitting in the satsang program? There are many demigods are also attending the program. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and the other acharyas, they respected the demigods. But then, they did not worship the demigods because there is no need. So the devotees, they do not disrespect the demigods. But then, they do not worship the demigods. So even if they worship the demigods, That is for a spiritual purpose. Like we have the example of the last example, we have the example of Kuvera, the treasurer of the demigods. He approached Dhruva Maharaj. He said that, please ask me, I will give you whatever you want. So Kuvera is the treasurer of the demigods. Somebody who is in charge of Reserve Bank of India, if he comes and says, please tell me how much our money you want, I will give you. Something like that. Kuvera is telling to Dhruva Maharaj. So, but then Dhruva Maharaj is asking that, please give me unalloyed devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Kuvera became so much more pleased that he said, okay, whatever you desire, I will give you that. So even if a devotee worships the demigod, that is for a spiritual purpose, how I can increase my Krishna consciousness, not for any material benefit. So a devotee does not disrespect the demigods. So even if he worships the demigods, it is for advancing in Krishna consciousness. In this way, we have many examples regarding demigod worship. So from these examples, it is very clear that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and he is actually giving the benefits which a demigod is giving to his worshippers. And he is giving the faith to the demigod worshipper. So there is no need to worship the demigod separately. And when we worship Krishna, we can please the demigods so dearly that the demigods, they say, like Lord Shiva said that they consider the devotees to be very dear to them, more than the asuras who worship them. So if anybody has any one question, we'll take it. Otherwise, we'll end the class. Grantara Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.